BBC Radio Wales. Are you on a diet? Lots of people in Wales are on a diet. Apparently, I think it's something like 57% of the country is obese.
I read in the papers yesterday that November the 10th is the day that most women start dieting before Christmas. So if you started yesterday, you're not alone.
This is for the Christmas party season, presumably. I think there's probably a fair old chance that there's a fair number of men who are trying to lose weight as well. Well, our next guest is the author Zoe Harkham, who's a Welsh author of a diet book that's hit the number one spot in the Amazon diet book charts, which is a pretty extraordinary accolade on world books, really. Zoe, a very warm welcome to the show. How have you got the answer, then, when so many people have failed?
What a great question to start in, and thank you very much for having me on the show.
Start with an easy one.
I think what really helps, actually, is I've been there and done that. And when I work with clients and when I write in the book, people can really tell that I've actually been through this. One of the great bits about the story was that to get to number one, we had to knock off Paul McKenna. And one of Paul McKenna's top tips is, when you feel hungry, eat. Now, from my entire dieting experience, if I'd have followed that advice, I'd be somewhere the size of Newport at the moment. You just can't do that. And it's all about understanding why we overeat. We want to be slim more than we want to be anything else in the whole world. So why do we then find ourselves eating a packet of biscuits? That's what I set out to understand, and I found the answer.
Tell us the answer.
The answer. The first thing that we're doing wrong is if anyone is about to start a diet and they're trying to count calories or cut back their food intake in any way, that will make them hungry. That alone ruins almost every single diet on the planet. You can look at obesity journals going back over 100 years. People have done the science that says the minute you make a human being hungry, they will do whatever they can to eat. And that's why you start a diet, you're obsessed with food. So you come to the realisation straight away, you've got to do something that doesn't make people hungry. Then you look into what actually causes food cravings. There are three very common medical conditions that cause food cravings, and they are candida, food intolerance and hyperglycemia. Women will have read about these, particularly in the women's magazines, suffered by the majority of people, and they cause incredible food cravings. So if you find yourself reaching for a packet of biscuits or a chocolate bar, particularly at this time of the morning, and you don't want to be doing that, you've got one of these three things going on.
I mean, I think it is 57% of adults in Wales are classified as overweight or obese, according to the Welsh Health Survey done last year. Conventional wisdom clearly isn't getting it right. I mean, we've known about this for a long time. We've been overeating for a long time. Why have we got it so wrong in the past? Is it about government advice? It's about conflicting advice a lot of the time, isn't it?
I blame pretty much all current advice that's there at the moment, because the current diet advice is actually very consistent with the public health advice. We haven't always got it wrong, and that's the really interesting thing. Up as far as 1983, there's this great little saying in a medical journal from over 100 years ago. Your grandmothers would know this very well. Farinaceous foods are fattening, and saccharine matters even more so. Which basically means floury foods are fattening, sugary foods even more so. We believed that right up until 1983. Very few people know we changed our diet advice 100% in 1983 from flour makes you fat to base your meals on starchy foods. That is the number one piece of advice that we give UK PLC today. Base your meals on starchy foods. That's how we fatten cattle. If you want to take a cow to market, you give it corn and starchy foods before you take it. It's the maddest advice I've ever heard.
So it almost sounds like you're asking us to rethink how we eat in its entirety.
Yes.
But yeah. I've dieted all my life. And we know, don't we? You eat less, you exercise more. That's it, isn't it?
No.
Surely it is.
No, that is the absolute heart fundamental thing that we have got wrong. It may be cruel to put you on the spot, but if I say, why should we eat less and do more? You know, if you say to me, where on earth did we get this idea from? Every now and again, you'll find a dietitian that's heard, it's something to do with the laws of the universe, you know, thermodynamics. There is no law of the universe that says put less energy in and you will get more energy out, or you will use up your body. The energy in equals energy out is wrong. It actually says that energy is conserved. Now, here's a really simple example, which will get it across to people. You can put a gallon of petrol in a petrol car, and it will go, let's say, 30 miles. Put a gallon of diesel in that petrol car, and it grinds to a halt. It's not that we're eating too much. We are eating the wrong thing. We are putting diesel in a petrol car. We're doing the equivalent of that with humans. We're eating 400 calories per person per day of sugar in the UK with no nutritional value, no protein. no nutritional value whatsoever. That must be like putting diesel in a petrol car.
So if you had the misfortune to be stuck to Louise and me for 24 hours, what, by and large, do most of us do wrong? Talk us through three meals, breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Eat real food. It is the absolute simple message. People say, what's real food? Oranges grow on trees, cartons of orange juice don't. Fish swims in the sea, fish fingers don't. Baked potatoes come out of the ground, chips don't. That's it. Wales has now got what real food is, and we've got to eat real food. It's what we've been eating and our ancestors for 3.5 million years. So breakfast would be bacon and eggs, or porridge. Lunch would be tuna niçoise with boiled eggs, anchovies, loads of olive oil. Dinner might be brown rice, butternut squash curry, steak, lamb chops, you know, anything in the form that nature intends us to eat it. That's how we need to be eating food. The minute you start counting calories, it drives you down the route of eating Special K and a 100-calorie cereal bar, and it just drives us down the route of eating processed food, and that's why we're getting fat.
So you think that we should stay away from the things, I mean, I'm even thinking of the kinds of shakes that you can get and all those things that people who are desperate and do want to lose weight either quickly for a special occasion or who just think that we've tried every diet would try those, and you just think, don't go there.
Number one ingredient in Slim Fast is sugar. Over 60% of Slim Fast is sugar. You know, Light Alive, predominantly powdered milk, sugar and sweetener.
But they do work for people, don't they?
They'll work. I mean, people will lose weight on Light Alive. They may also lose their gallbladder. Two clients that I'm working with at the moment, that's happened to them. You know, you can lose a lot more than weight. I don't know anyone who has lost the weight and kept it off, because your body goes into starvation mode. Again, we've proven it with science. Starve people make themselves hungry, the metabolism slows down. I was anorexic as a teenager, so, you know, I can say this from first-hand experience. I got to the point where I would put on weight eating 1,000 calories a day. You know, according to the energy in, energy out theory, that should not be possible. But the energy conservation theory, it becomes very possible. My body adjusted.
And there'll be lots of parents and grandparents listening to this who'll say, well, hang on, particularly where teenage girls are concerned, you've got to be very careful about making food an issue, eating an issue, not eating an issue. I mean, and given what you've been through, that's a reasonable concern, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And if you can just have your family eating healthily. So children are brought up to know what is real food and what is healthy food. I know a great journalist who actually says to her children, come shopping with me, but don't put anything in the trolley that's got more than 5 ingredients. And they go around and check the ingredients list. It's like, mummy, this one's got 23. And, you know, it's maltodextrin and yeast autolysate and monodiglycerides of, you know, you could not believe what we're putting in our bodies. Please, you know, people listening to this programme, go and check the cupboards, look at the ingredients. If you don't know what some of those things are, don't put them in your body. If I gave you a white tablet and said, take that, you'd say, no, I don't know what's in it. And yet we're putting stuff in every single day and we don't know what it is. And it's making us fat.
I suppose as well, for families who are busy working, working mums, working dads, the ready meal is kind of handy though, isn't it? You know, you're really saying that people every day should be cooking from scratch.
Not every day from scratch. I mean, it takes 2 minutes to boil a kettle and pour it on porridge oats. You know, that's my breakfast in the morning. That's the quickest way of making a breakfast cereal. What I would say is if anyone's got time to watch TV, just put the TV in the kitchen. You know, watch your programme while you're cooking. We need to bring back a bit of cooking into our lives. Only a couple of hours a week, knock up a homemade tomato pasta sauce. You can add it to wholemeal pasta during the week. Put some baked potatoes in while the oven's on. You know, you can end up with half a dozen meals for the week ahead with just a couple of hours' effort. And if you care about your health, you've got to put in a bit of effort.
What about the role of something that you can't change, genetics? I mean, there'll be people saying, well, the thing is, my dad was a bit porky and so was my mum. It's kind of inevitable that I've inherited their genes. It's a fair point and a widely held view.
Yeah, it absolutely has validity. I mean, why would we have animal husbandry if it wasn't genetic? You know, if my dad is tall, you know, I might be tall. My mum is actually very short, so I'm very short. Absolutely works. And so just as it works with height, it's going to work with girth. It makes no sense that genetics would not play a part. But that can only explain part of it. That's going to explain your frame, your height, your propensity to put on weight. But you can then do something about it. And I absolutely believe if you eat food that is only prepared in the form that nature intends it, it's almost impossible to be overweight.
And what about the kind of weight loss that someone would experience if they took on board what you're saying? I mean, Is it just steady weight loss? How would it happen? I mean, I've been training to do a half marathon and over the last 5 months, and then I did the half marathon, and I thought that weight would absolutely drop off me, and I've lost 9 pounds. And I've been trying hard. I've been trying to eat healthily, and I've been exercising 3-4 times a week. I mean, 9 pounds over 5 months isn't a huge amount of weight, is it?
I hate to tell you, the record weight loss for phase one. Phase one's only 5 days long, and it's 17 pounds in the first 5 days. Now,
but is that safe? Is it safe to lose that amount of weight?
Yes, it is. Yeah, and if I can explain why. I mean, somebody actually accused me of writing a fad diet, and it's like, guys, I set out to write a diet that would stop people overeating, that would stop cravings, and gets people so healthy that they never want to eat rubbish again. I didn't set out to design a diet that would lose somebody 17 pounds in 5 days, but they post it on Facebook or blog, and you see that it's happened. A lot of that is water, because two of the conditions that I mentioned cause incredible water retention. And then people say, oh, well, that doesn't count. Well, 50% of the human is water anyway. You know, if someone's 20 stone and they need to lose 10 stone, they're not going to lose 10 stone of fat and turn into a puddle. You know, we are always going to lose water. You'll be 2 clothes sizes down at the end of that. Your rings will fit better, your clothes will fit better, your jeans will fit better, you don't look puffy. You know, people just look and feel fantastic once they get back to eating good food.
The trouble is, all of this is much more difficult as you get older. I mean, the majority of people listening to this programme will be over the age of 40, and it gets very difficult once you go over 40, doesn't it? Almost we need to be having these conversations, I guess, in school.
I really worry when I've seen programmes where they're talking to 10-year-olds, and 10-year-olds are aware of calories, and they have come to already think of calories as bad things. And the only thing you need to know about calories is it's petrol. And your body can't run unless you've got petrol. And you need to put petrol in rather than diesel. So we're just teaching people completely the wrong things. If children picked up from the beginning what real food is, it would be with them for life. Girls wouldn't have eating disorders. There's no reason why anyone can't eat healthily, even if they're beyond 40.
And you can only do so much with diet, surely. I mean, exercise, as Louise was suggesting earlier on, must play a part in weight loss and your condition.
This is one of the most controversial views I've got, actually. Exercise is a great thing to do, but it's really not going to help with the weight problem.
I disagree with you. I really do, because Jamie mentioned the point about being over 40 and how, you know, before I was 40, I know, you're so kind. I could just diet and lose a few pounds, whereas now, if I just diet, nothing moves.
But if you did something different. You've slowed your metabolism to probably need, I don't know, 1,200 to 1,500 calories a day. I eat 2,500 calories a day, and I do very, very little exercise. I walk the dog because I enjoy walking the dog. I'm never going to go near a gym. I will never run a half marathon. It makes you hungry. You know, the body is going to ask for the petrol to go in to run the half marathon. If you don't exactly compensate, you can actually gain weight while exercising. It is a great thing to do, but to burn off a muffin, if we all ate a muffin now, we're going to have to walk from here to Newport to burn the muffin off.
It would be worth it.
It wouldn't to me. I would rather not eat the muffin and not do the walk.
It's your supposition that we'd eat only one muffin. That's the thing, Zoe.
That's the other one,
Stay with us. We'll talk Thank more you. In a few moments.
Yeah,
Zoe
it would have to be a return journey, wouldn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
Then Newport and back, possibly in a taxi. Author Zoe Harkham from Newport this morning, whose diet book has hit the number one spot in the Amazon diet book chart. She toppled Paul McKenna's I Can Make You Thin. We're going to talk more to her in a couple of minutes, but we'd love to hear from you this morning if you've tried dieting, however you've done it. Get in touch with us, 03700 100 110. Maybe you're on the diet trail in the run-up to the Christmas party season. Jamie Louise at bbc.co.uk, and we'll hear your comments a little later. 22 minutes to 12. We've been talking dieting this morning with the author Zoe Harkham, who's from Newport, and her book is at the number one spot, or was at the number one spot, in Amazon's diet book charts. And we've been chatting about what makes you fat. We were chatting about 57% of us in Wales and are classified as overweight or obese, and hearing from you on this as well. And so if you're on a diet and thinking about trying to shed the pounds and run up to Christmas, do get in touch with us. We'd love to hear your story, whether you've been successful or not. 03700 100 110. Jamie Louise at bbc.co.uk. We should talk about drink, not just food as well, and I don't just mean alcoholic drinks. Yeah. I mean things like we live on coffee on this programme from the time we come in at 7:30. I mean, I down loads and loads of black coffee. I couldn't speak otherwise, and Louise tries to do her best with
decaf.
Oh, well done.
What's the point of that?
Yes, no, definitely.
Oh, really?
Yes. Unfortunately, it is, because people think of coffee, particularly if you go for black coffee, people think, well, it's got no calories, so it doesn't count. And we have to move away from thinking that calories make us fat. It's not how many calories you put into your body, it's the type of calories that you put in. Now, during the time that obesity has gone up sixfold, we were about 3.5% of us overweight at the point we changed this advice. Big clue there. We now have over 20%. It's nearer 21, 22 in Wales, obese. So during the time when it's gone up sixfold, we've just been calorie counting all the time. So if you think calories, you know, are the important things, so you go for a black coffee with zero calories, you're missing what else it does to your body.
Okay, so what else does it do to your body then?
Yeah, caffeine, any sort of diet drinks that have caffeine in them as well. So anything that has got caffeine in it is going to stimulate your pancreas to release insulin. It's going to act as if an adrenaline stimulus has happened in your body. Your body will release insulin. And we know so much about this hormone insulin that it is far more important in obesity than we've given it enough credit for. If you look at a type 1 diabetic, a young teenager who develops diabetes will drop something like 20 pounds in 10 days. The only thing that happens is they stop producing insulin. Then they start injecting insulin and they struggle with their weight for the rest of their life. You know, you go on chat rooms with young diabetics and you have doctors going on their own chat rooms saying, how do I get my young diabetic girl to take her insulin? Because she's worked out it makes her fat. Well, it also will produce itself within our own bodies if we have caffeine or if we have sugar, refined carbohydrates. Any carbohydrate will wake up insulin, and that's what's making us fat.
It sounds to me like it's all a little bit complicated. You know, you have to, because you've obviously researched this, and but for those of us who just want to lose a few pounds, it seems like it's, I don't know, there's too much in it. You know, you just, for me, just eat less, do a little bit more, and that works.
That's the wrong message. If it worked, we wouldn't have an obesity problem, let alone an epidemic. It's a great little slogan, but it doesn't work, and there's no point repeating it as a great little slogan. You know, we're going to beat New Zealand. If we don't beat New Zealand in 56 years, we've got to give people a message that will work. The message that I believe will work is eat real food, and only real food. And telling people to eat less drives us down the route of eating more carbohydrates, and that's what's making us fat. It's a direct route that they're driving us down.
We've talked about soft drinks, things like coffee and smoothies and all that kind of stuff. We must talk about alcoholic drinks, because every time you open a newspaper, there's a new story in there about the amount that Wales is drinking, whether it's binge drinking or middle classes at home quaffing far too much wine. I mean, we have drastically increased the amount of alcoholic drinks, all of us have, over the last 20 years, haven't we?
We do drink more, I think, and I think we drink more of the wrong things. So I think the things that are making particularly the young girl binge drinkers overweight are these alco pop drinks, which are, you know, sort of fruity, fizzy drinks, essentially laden with sugar and things that are going to make them overweight. Louisa's saying it gets complicated. An interesting thing about alcohol is it shuts down one of the body's mechanisms that gets your blood sugar back to normal. That's the reason you get the munchies on the way home from the club. You don't find a kebab van attractive at 8 o'clock the next morning, but it was outrageously attractive at 3 a.m. and that's because your blood sugar's on the floor. You know, everything comes back to how the body works, your blood sugar mechanisms. It's slightly more complicated than eat less, do more, but it's only as complicated as eat real food.
How did you discover all this? How did you come to it? Have you studied it? How did it happen?
Both. That's a great question. I mean, it's personal experience. You know, the first thing I wanted to do, I was the first kid from my school to go to Cambridge University. So I remember sitting in my room thinking, you know, I've just eaten a box of Quality Streets, a whole Viennetta, six bags of crisps and a packet of biscuits. Why did I do that? You know, I'm not stupid. There must be something else going on. And when you look into what it could be, that's when I came across the three conditions and just read up on every single thing. I had some great doctors along the way, you know, the ones that really helped. I had some really bad doctors along the way, you know, a doctor that to this day I'll remember said, oh, if your blood sugar's low, just eat a Mars bar or, you know, some confectionery bar. And it's just going to send you into another blood sugar high and low. And that's not what it's about. So you get to do your own experience. You get to be quite mistrustful. And when somebody says to you, eat less, do more, you go into, well, why do you say that? You know, you talk about the laws of dynamics, thermodynamics, but you've misapplied them. When people say five a day, I now say, why? Where does that come from? Has no scientific rationale whatsoever. Can still be a good message, but not if people are eating white pizza to put sweet corn on top of it because they think that's their way of getting five a day. You're better off not having the pizza or the sweet corn, particularly if you're talking childhood obesity.
One of the sad things about all of this is the contradictory messages that have come through in, you know, 50 years of public health information. And clearly, we've still got it wrong, and we have still much to do in getting a simple message out there that people understand and can live by.
I do think we've got it horribly wrong. I've looked at just four government campaigns, so I'll look at, you know, what they're saying from the Food Standards Agency, the National Health Service, the British Nutrition Foundation, and you just line them up against each other. Now, if I tell you in four campaigns, there are 22 different messages. There's only one message that actually features in all four campaigns, and every time the words change. If we took that to a marketing department of a successful organisation and said, go out and talk to your consumers, give them four different campaigns, 22 different messages, and if you ever repeat a message, don't use the same words. You know, we have just built in how to confuse people. Unfortunately, the messages we do try and get across are the wrong ones, so that the things that people pick up is eat less, do more. If I tell you the studies done back as far as 1945, where they took people, locked them in a room for a year, put them on 1,600 calories a day, which is the less bit, got them to do 45 minutes exercise a day. This is not extreme by modern standards. And turned 36 healthy and fit young men into bulimics within 24 weeks. That's what happens if you get humans to eat less and do more. We know all this. Why don't we stop saying eat less, do more, and just say, guys, eat real food. Nature won't poison you. Nature is the one to trust, not the Food Standards Agency, unfortunately. Nature, it's been there all the time.
So if you could, one message for you is to eat real food?
If I can leave with a little factoid, actually. Let's say we've been on this planet for 24 hours, eating real food that we can find around us for 24 hours. Agriculture developed 4 minutes ago. That's what gave us large-scale access to carbohydrates. In the past 5 seconds, our consumption of sugar has gone up 20-fold. Now, which do you think is responsible for obesity, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, and any modern illness? Because personally, I don't think it's the meat and fish.
Food for thought. Zoe Harkin, thank you very much
indeed. Thank you very much for having me.
And thanks for coming on the show this morning.
Thank you.